Hey everyone, welcome back to the Time for Truth, a radio ministry of New Testament Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning in, and we pray you are blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Today's message is brought to you by Brother Larry Lafferty.
All right, if you have your Bibles with you, we'd ask that you turn to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading in verse 8. Revelation chapter 4, beginning in verse 8, the Bible says, "And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." I'd like to preach, the Lord being my helper, on I want to praise Him. Dear Lord, we thank You for Your goodness and watch care. Lord, we thank You for Your presence from time to time. Lord, we pray tonight that You'd send the Holy Spirit this way, that You would stir us up according to Your mercy and grace. Make us what we ought to be, Lord. Make us mindful of who You are, and that we would quit going through a routine, Lord, and that we would just be in Your will, and Lord, that we would have a desire to praise You. And we pray these things in the sweet and the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Now, as we look at this fairly familiar verses of text, sometimes I think that we miss the context and we miss the meaning behind it. I will say, by and large, most of us do not know how to praise the Lord in a way that we should. When you go around from church to church, they seem to think they have a revival while they're sitting there like a knot on a log, and you could, and they would shed water with the sourness of their face. They have no joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. They have no happiness. You know what? It's not Pentecostal to be happy in the things of the Lord. This evening, you know what? I'm glad and happy I'm on my way to glory. I'm glad and happy as a 12-year-old boy the Lord saved my soul, and I've never been the same since then. I'm glad and happy. So why couldn't I glorify Him? Why couldn't I praise Him? Why couldn't I lift His name up? And you know why? The big why is, big answer to why is most of the time we're embarrassed. And if we're not embarrassed, we're afraid that we're going to be included in a different group. Well, I'm sovereign grace. Well, praise God for it, I am too, but that don't mean I have to go around like I've eaten a persimmon, does it? We ought to praise Him. We ought to give Him glory. We ought to give Him honor and praise. So go back with me to our text in verse 8. The Bible says, "And the four beasts," these are those worshipful beasts before the throne of the Lord God Almighty, before the Lord Jesus Christ, "and the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within." Now I want you to notice two things. These creatures used what they had available to praise the Lord. Now, if you read the story of the six wings, let me say something first about angelic beings. They are a reality, but they're nothing like the Catholic Church has painted them. They're nothing like what most people think when they think of an angel. We find here that they had three sets of wings, not one. They had three sets of wings. Then they went before the throne saying, "Glory, glory, glory." So with these six sets of wings, with one set they did this and covered their head. With one set they covered their feet, and they flew with only the middle set in their back. That was what they did. They had these three pair, and they used them to praise the Lord. Their availability. You say, "Oh, Brother Larry, I can't preach." Use what you have. If all you can do is lay in the bed and pray, and let me say this, there's not a one of us in that condition tonight. Every one of us have the ability to get up and go down to the house of God, and we ought to praise Him just for that. And so we see they use the availability of them. Another thing that these angelic beings had that was necessary for praise, it says they were full of eyes within. Within. A lot of people describe these beasts of having eyes all over. Well, that's not what the Word of God says, is it? It said they had full of eyes within. They could see themselves well. You know what? I believe that the reason we don't praise as we should is the stuff in here. We need to see it. You think if somebody could look within your heart tonight, you would be embarrassed? I mean, the thoughts that we have, the ungodly things we struggle with day by day, don't you think you'd be embarrassed? Or are you a lot better off than me and you're good to go? I'd say most of us would have to answer no, don't you?
Man.
So what made it possible for these beasts to praise them rightly is they kept a check on the interior man. So I feel like one thing that interferes with proper praise is the condition in here and not the condition out here. It's a spiritual problem. And you know what? We've looked over it so long that we don't even address it anymore. It's a spiritual problem when we can't praise the Lord. And men, we know the Bible says very clearly to the church at Corinth, let your women learn in silence. Let them be silent and subject to the men. We know that. So who is responsible for praising the Lord in corporate worship? It's us. It's the men. And so, you know, we don't need to go looking for problems in other places. We need to address it with self. And then verse 9 says, "And when those beasts give glory and honor," "when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever." Now, in addition to using their availability, these beasts gave honor and thanks. What do you thank the Lord for today? Brother Downs made a mention of his daughter that had surgery today. He thanked the Lord things went well. That's a blessing. What have you thanked the Lord for today? He said, "Well, you know, Brother Larry, I don't have nothing to thank Him for." You're foolish. You have the breath of life, don't you? You have enough mind about you that you can dwell on the things of God just for a little bit, don't you? Is that enough to praise Him? Ain't one of us sitting in this building tonight that's not had something to eat today. Is that not enough to praise Him? You're able to get down to the house of God. Is that enough? Is that not enough to lift His name up? Certainly it is. You know what? If you were in a prison and still had the ability to cry out to the goodness of God, you have something to praise Him for. So these angelic beings found two things that they praised God for. The first thing, they praised Him in honor and they gave Him great things. Thanks. Verse 10. The 24 elders, and I've heard it hypothesized time and time again who these individuals were. You know what? I don't know who they were. I don't think that's the point of the situation here. The point is not who they are, it's what they did. And the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne. Now this evening in New Testament Baptist Church, if there was one of us that fell before the Lord God, we'd be labeled Pentecostal.
Amen.
You know what the position of prayer is? Sincere prayer every time they laid down before Him. The Bible says in sackcloth and ashes. Oh, Brother Larry, that's Old Testament. Well, what about in the New Testament? It says the Lord God, the Lord Jesus Christ, went out by himself two separate times and prayed all night. How many times have you done that? See, I think today that we're missing the picture, we're missing the boat in our corporate worship. We should praise Him. The 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord. Now, that's an unusual thing at that end, as they say they cast their crowns before the throne. Now, first of all, a crown is valuable. If you want to study something this week, study out what the crowns are. There are five separate crowns in the Bible. And I'll just give you one and we'll move along. One of them is a crown of life. Have you ever thought about what your crown of life looks like? Because I believe whether you're just newly saved or you're saved and you've been saved for a long time but you've never lended yourself to the things of God, your crown is pretty dull. People that devote themselves their entire life to the work of God, their crown is different than someone that sits there of their and does nothing for the cause of Christ. So these men, and I've heard it postulated, I don't know who they are. Some say it's the 12 apostles and the 12 tribe heads. That's immaterial. You know what? They had crowns, plural, to throw at the feet of Jesus. What about you? What will you spend that time doing before the throne? When we're there and we're among the mighty King, the Lord Jesus Christ, what will you do? I want to be able to praise Him. I want to lift Him up. Whatever availability I have, I want to lift Him up. Look with me in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 60. We read a separate thing. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 21. The Bible says, Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. Now, I want you to notice a couple of things about this text. First of all, it says, Thy people. That's us. Of course, it was talking in the nation of Israel. But where will the Lord get praise today? From His people, from the saved, from the redeemed. Thy people also shall be all righteous. Now, you think about yourself. What did your life look like today? Did it look righteous? Did you give your mother problems today? Did you give your boss a decent day's work, or did you cheat him a little bit? The Bible says, all righteous. What was your testimony today? How did you stand up? How did you give praise to the Lord? Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I might be glorified. So I'll give you two things. Number one, He is always glorified in Israel. Watch Israel. Watch what's happening now. He will always be glorified in Israel. He will always be glorified in His people, both in Israel and both the people of the New Testament, the age of grace. He should be glorified. Now, I also want you to see, it says, by the work of my hands. Look about you. You know, some people will say, well, what about the people that never heard the gospel? Are they going to hell? Well, I'll have to say yes. Because if I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be missionary. I'd be like the primitive Baptist and sit at home, wouldn't you?
Amen.
But I believe, yes, most definitely, because what does the Bible say in the Psalms? Even the heavens declare His glory. You look out on a starlit night. You look at the beauty that He's left us behind. You look at the wondrous works about that. There is a Creator and His name is Jehovah. The heavens declare His glory. So if they can do that, why can't you? If they can declare that there is a sovereign Creator, why can't you? Now the reason is this, is our modes of declaring glory to God are not always pleasant. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49, we'll read verse 3. Isaiah 49 in verse 3, the Bible says, "And said unto me," meaning God Jehovah, "and said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel." So, the next thing we see, if we want to give Him glory, and you can read it that, "Thou wilt give me glory," is the role of servant. That gives glory to God. The role of servant lifts Him up. The role of servant is something that is praiseworthy. Now, we can say, "Amen," but would you be a servant? It's one thing to say, "Glory to God," but it's quite another thing to be a servant, isn't it? A servant is one, if he says, "Go to the far reaches of the world and preach the gospel," that you go. You don't think twice about it. You sell all you have and you go. That's a servant.
Amen.
If he says, "Go paint the building," that don't mean dragging everybody in the church down. You very quietly and very humbly in secrecy go paint the building. That's a servant's heart. Now, we don't want to give the Lord praise for that because it cost us something. It cost us energy. It cost us, the fact that we are disciplined enough to do it. But that is a way to give glory. Lift Him up. Praise Him. "And said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified." You want to lift His name up? Be a servant. Lend Him. Remember when Hannah brought the child Samuel down to the house of God. He said, "I will lend him to the Lord all the days of his life." That's a servant. So how have you served Him today? How have you been obedient to what He's given you to do? Go with me to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter number 15. Matthew chapter number 15. Matthew 15. Matthew 15 in beginning in verse 31. Matthew 15, beginning in verse 31, the Bible says, "Insomuch that the multitude wondered." Now, if you know your Bible and you follow this, the Lord Jesus, had made a great miracle, a notable miracle in healing. And notice what it says, "Insomuch that the multitude wondered," or was amazed, or was confounded, "when they saw the dumb speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel." Now, that means they give Him praise. That means they lifted Him up. Now, I want you to see the events that happened leading up to this glorification. Number one, God had acted in a miraculous way. You take the baby we just asked prayer for, Brother Ryan Austin's baby, and they give that baby to the young couple, took it off the ventilator, and say, "Hey, it may last 30 minutes. That baby is still alive even today." We ought to give glory to God just for that. Is that a miracle? Certainly it is. Is that something that God has sustained? Absolutely it is.
Amen.
Do you hear people give God the glory for that? Do you hear people lift Him up? How many people that honors Him when a miracle like that happens? You know who gets the credit these days? The doctors. That's who gets the credit, is it not? You know what? They're nothing more than the instruments in the mighty God of heaven. That's it. And so we see then, they glorify the Lord Jesus in that day. Why can't we? We see the same things happen. We see the same miracles, but certainly we don't give them the praise. And if we do, we attribute it to the wrong person. We attribute it to the wrong individual, not the Lord Jesus Christ. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verse 12. And immediately he, meaning the lame man who was healed, and immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before all them, insomuch they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never saw it on this fashion." Now, in both those instances, the people said, it is a verbal praise. How many times have you verbally praised the Lord today? Now, ladies, I know you are in the assembly right now, but what about out there? How many times today have you verbally praised the Lord? You know what? When you need to give Him credit where credit's due. That's praising the Lord.
Amen.
This is what the Lord's done for me today. He gave me breath of life. I woke up and my feet hit the floor and I began the day. We were to give Him praise for it. But do we? Was it a drag to come to church tonight? Or did you give Him praise? And listen, I've been where you've at too. I've been on that side of the pew. And I know it ain't always a hallelujah good time, but you know what? It should be. If all the man does is get up and read a section of Scripture, Lord would be glad we've been down to the house of the Lord. Give Him praise. It's not Pentecostal to say, praise the Lord. Thank you for bringing us safe this far. We need to praise Him verbally. Listen, you know what? We're losing that in our Baptist churches. We're losing the fact that people will simply, men will simply say, "Thank you, Lord. Praise you. Thank you for who you are." We don't see that anymore. And we wonder why our churches are drying up on the vine down to 3 or 4 people. We wonder. Well, I can tell you, because we won't praise Him. That is the problem. That's where we have arrived to. And so we see we ought to praise Him more. That's an easy one. We don't do it, but relatively easy, if we would, to praise the Lord in that way. But let me tell you another way to praise the Lord. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. Romans chapter 8, verse 17, Paul writing to the church at Rome, he says, "And if children..." If you write in the Bible, circle that "if," because "and if children." Because you know what? I believe we got a lot of sheeps and a lot of goats in the fold, don't you?
Yeah.
Anybody can say the sinner's prayer, you know it? That don't make you redeemed. Uh-oh. But I believe I've got Bible to back that up. In fact, I don't think you'll find the sinner's prayer from cover to cover, do you? It's not there. So if that's all you've got, I'd make my calling and election sure.
Amen.
Now, secondly, I want you to see that he says, "If, and if children, then heirs." Praise God, we're heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. So a way to glorify the Lord is to suffer with Him. Have you ever suffered for the cause of Christ? I haven't. I can't say amen to that one, can you? Now, I might have had a little embarrassment along the way. I might have had a few say, "Why do you act that way?" I may have had a few, "Why do you always bow your head and pray, even at work?" I may have had a little bit of that, but you know, that's no suffering. We think it is sometimes, but that ain't suffering. Has anybody ever slapped you across the face for the cause of Christ? That's suffering. What did the writer say, Paul? He says, 40 stripes save one have I received 5 times. That's suffering. Thrice left in the sea. That's suffering. So have you suffered anything for the cause of Christ? You want to give Him praise tonight? And I'm beginning to wonder if anybody does. But if you want to give Him praise tonight, suffer with Him. If you want to give glory to the Lord, suffer with Him. When people ask you, hey, what do you believe about the atonement of Christ? And you say, I believe it was limited to His elect. And you get that sour look from somebody. Suffer with Him. When somebody looks at you and say, "Why this was always, you know, I don't understand men getting the lynch on his back for this." But there's a lady me and Donna worked with many years ago when she unfortunately still worked outside the home. She said, "Why do you make Donna wear dresses all the time?" And I thought, well, first of all, you don't know Donna if you think I can make her do anything. But you know, I've come to see stuff like that is a type of suffering. But I did get the opportunity to say, well, in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians, or in 1 Thessalonians, the Bible says that the woman is to not to wear that which pertaineth unto a man. And she laughed at me and pushed me aside. That was a type of suffering, wasn't it? Very minuscule, very, very minute compared to the sufferings of Paul. But you will get that along the way. That is a way to glorify and honor Christ is in the suffering that comes with it. 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4. First Peter 4 and verse 14, the Bible says, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. So you want to be glorified? Suffer reproach. Now what is reproach? You know what? It's intrinsic to man to want to be liked, isn't it?
Man.
You know what? I believe that's as much as a part of the fall of man as anything else. You just got to be liked. You got to be patted on the back. You got to be have that. You know what? When you don't have that, that is reproach. When people saying ain't saying way to go, that's reproach. You know, there, in one sense, there's no reproach in our country of Christ, for Christ. But there is a reproach in this when you say, hey, it's all of grace. There's a reproach attached to that, isn't it? When you say, hey, He knew me before the world began and He poured out His blood for me individually. There's a reproach that's carried with that. There's a reproach when I say He died for some. Isaiah 53 verse 9. John chapter 17. He says, I do not pray for the world. I pray for them that Thou hast given me. Sounds pretty limited to me, don't it, you? But you know what? There's a reproach that comes with that. You'll be called hard shell. You know, the first statement that somebody always says about that, that's not fair. You know what fair would have been? For Him to cast every one of us alive into the middle of hell. That would have been fair. That would have been just. That would have been right. But thanks be to God, grace came in. And for His people, He died and made a way out. So there's a reproach that comes with Christ. Now, if everybody loves you, and everybody just wants a warm, fuzzy group hug, you won't have this. You won't glorify God in the reproach because there is none. Now, if you go along and you agree with everybody, and listen, we live in a day of full compromise where we're not willing to say, hey, you're not right there. Let me show you what the Scriptures say. You know why? Because we don't want to reproach. We don't want to be numbered with that crew. We don't want to be labeled, have all those labels to go with us. And you know what? That's fine because it does not affect your salvation, but you've missed the opportunity to glorify God. You missed the opportunity to glorify Christ. When you say, hey, my salvation far extends the sinner's prayer. When you can say He reached down to the very bottom and He pulled me up by His marvelous grace and He made me a new creature and I've never been the same since, that's a whole lot different than saying the sinner's prayer, isn't it?
Amen.
But you know what? There's a reproach that comes with it. When you preach the Word of God and you preach it like you mean it, there's a reproach that comes with it. To get up here and read your sermon and just, you know what, there's not much reproach in that. Or, if you get up there and even if you do talk loudly and you tell somebody what they want to hear, there's no reproach in that. Had people say, Larry, why do you always get on separation? Well, you know, if people get it right, I'll move on to something else.
Man.
There's a reproach that comes with that. People don't like to hear that. There's a reproach in saying that this book, the King James Version, is the only Bible for English-speaking people. There's a reproach that comes with that. But you know what? I still believe it. A miraculous book is in my hand right now. Bought by the very hand of God. So that's a reproach. The last thing, in the book of the Revelation, chapter 18, there's always a counterfeit. There's always, the devil always has something similar that he wants to present. Revelation chapter 18, verse 7, the Bible says, And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which have the seven heads and the ten horns. I'm sorry, wrong verse. 18 verse 7. How much she have glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. So we see the great whore, I believe to be the Catholic Church, and I'm not afraid to say that. I believe it's also her many daughters that she's bred in the last 2,000 years. Not afraid to say that either. And you know what? It says here, they all glorify self. That's the flip side. When you say you can be saved anytime you want to, that's glorifying yourself. It's in my hands, and I can do it when I want to. That's glorifying yourself. When you say, all I ever have to do is be baptized, you're glorifying yourself. When you say, all I have to do is hold out faithful, you're glorifying yourself. And let me say that on that little comment, and we'll soon come to an end. I've worked with the elderly all my life. You know what? I've seen some very sad cases of dementia. People you would not have dreamed would have spoken foully of anything, much less the things of God, blasphemed God to His face. Now, if I was holding out faithful, what would that do to my salvation? It would requite it, would not? Would it not? But you know what? Those people in that position that have genuinely been saved, that's all under the blood, is it not? And not because they give up, not because they became demented, it's because salvation has always been fully of grace. we ought to praise Him. How will you glorify God the rest of the week? How will you glorify the Lord Jesus Christ? How will you shed light on? And by the way, glorify simply means to shed light upon, to enlighten, to brighten up, to make people see the way. How will you enlighten even tonight on your way home to speak to others the things of God that is glorifying Him? What have you done this week? What have you said that might shed light to the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ? I believe we ought to glorify Him.
Thank you for joining us for the Time for Truth. Our services here at New Testament Baptist Church are Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, 11 a.m. for the Sunday preaching hour, and our midweek service begins at 7 p.m. Our building is located at 805 Natcourt Drive in Dover, Tennessee, and we would love to see you there. If you're listening, we would enjoy hearing from you. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 145 in Dover, Tennessee, 37058. You can email our pastor, Brother Larry Lafferty, at preacher@clarksville.com or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/New Testament Baptist Dover. Once again, thank you for listening and tune in next week at this same time for another Time for Truth.